Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Chris Rossini, our co-host. Chris, welcome to the program.
It's great to be with you, Dr. Paul.
Very good. We have lots to talk about, at least lots of money to talk about. And also, is this working? And my one question is, how long can the Fed keep doing this? Because the bailouts get bigger and bigger. And actually, I'm a little bit impressed with them, their ability to reinflate, and they seem to be doing it. But there's a lot of gullible people out there, and it seems like no matter what the Fed does, if they make an announcement, the announcement has to be positive. So there's not an investment analysis done. There's how will the markets react to this positive statement. And immediately after they make a statement, which is supposed to help, the stock markets zap right up, but destined always to go back down. And of course, they've been doing that for a good many years. And finally, the market this year had to really crack. But once again, the euphoria crept back in, the markets have started back up, and people are happy about that. So when they start down again, they get the Fed or Treasury or the president to announce more spending, more credit, and the Fed will be very active, and the stocks go up again. But if you look back at the way the market worked in the 1930s, it wasn't like it crashed and stayed down there. It was like that. There was a lot of ups and downs and significant increases. So even during the 30s, I'm sure there were people making money in the stock market. But the announcement this week, I think, is interesting, and that is somebody had the nerve to add up what the budget might be like this year. And actually, I had to check a couple times because as cynical as I am about what they do, I thought, it can't be true. They can't be spending $10 trillion this year in the budget. And then somebody went and wanted to make a point, but it doesn't really have a negative effect. It's just entertainment. And that's as much as in today's dollars. It takes into account for inflation. That's what we spent for the Revolutionary War, the Civil War, World War I, and World War II, all justified with emergencies. But once again, you know, we're doing this, and it hasn't really crashed things. So one of the questions that we'll deal with today is, how long will this last? And I do admit that sometimes they pull it out of the water and pull it out of the fire, and they're able to keep it going. But I don't believe it's a sound growth in any way, and it's a bubbly economy, and I don't think that prosperity is on its way back, because there's a lot of damage done in these last few months, which some of the incentive came from coronavirus and all this demonstration, even though I think the big issue is the bubble economy that the Federal Reserve creates, and they're motivated by spending, and they all work in collusion. The politicians as well, Republicans and Democrats, both for the war spending and also for the domestic welfare spending. So nobody would ever want to take credit for initiating the medical treatment necessary to do something with this, which means you cut back spending, because there would be a lot of pain from that. The only way we can argue with that, we have to accept the fact that cutting back spending and quit the inflation would be painful. The medicine would be tough. The only good argument against this is, well, if you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to kill the patient. And the patient is our economy. And that's what I think is happening now. People are more fearful than ever, you know, about what's happening. And yet there are some people that are still thriving, and the markets say it's okay. But more and more people will realize it is a very narrow market. Most of this this stock activity ends up, guess what? The Fed's been in buying ETFs. They're now announcing they're going to buy bonds directly. They have in the past, and they're going to continue, and they're going to accelerate. The immediate reaction to that announcement is the stocks went up sharply. Well, that's not because the investment environment has all of a sudden improved. It's all a immediate short-term reaction to an announcement, and even the people who know this isn't going to work, but I think tomorrow the stocks are going to go up, and so they participate in it. So it's all, you know, it is at a point where it is pure gambling, and I think the word we use in our title, this is fantasy land, and sometimes fantasies, people wake up and, oh, this has to be a fantasy, and come back to realization. That is coming. A lot of people have already recognized it, but we will continue, Chris, to warn the American people that it is fantasy land, and we have to live with reality and do what we have to do to try to come back to sanity.
That's right, Dr. Paul, and it is amazing. I agree with you, the lengths that they're willing to go to keep this fantasy going. You know, Powell, you mentioned that they're buying corporate bonds. They're going to directly counterfeit money to buy corporate bonds and hand money to corporations. I mean, this whole thing becomes now political. The politically connected corporations will get the money, and most likely those that are failing. So we're going to be wasting resources instead of a business failing and going under and letting those resources go into better hands. They're going to be kept alive like a zombie. And, you know, we just went through this in the 1900s. We watched the toppling of central planners all over the world. You'd think in America we would have avoided this, but instead they've gone and have now made the same mistakes. And they don't know what they're doing any more than the central planners of the 1900s, because no individual human can plan human life, no group of humans that call themselves the Fed or government, and certainly no computer can program human life. So all of this is going to end badly. And like you said, the longer they go, the worse it's going to get.
And we have to admit that the almost all the conservative Republicans aren't much of a resistance to this message and what they're doing, because they participate in it. But it's also, you know, shows that this is corporatism. You know, if they're buying up bonds and bailing out companies, they can't buy out every single one. So the little guy, people who don't know what's going on, they don't get bailed out. But the big ones do. And this is just fodder for the people who are the socialist Marxists. See what they do? Look at this. Look at how wicked this is. And yet there's still too many Republicans are defending this as, well, we don't want those Marxists in charge. We have to maintain the free market. Well, this is not a free market. This is a rigged market. And all this bailout is being rigged to benefit certain corporations. But it's ironic that the bailouts go in and they prop up certain companies. And then if they get into trouble, they get propped up with easy credit and all. Then they get into trouble, and then the government comes back in and buys the stuff. You know, so they're in from the beginning to the end. And there's pretty good evidence of what's going on there, because it isn't something, this is not investments. And yet there's no way the current crop of politicians or professors from the university are anywhere close to talking about has to be done. You have to go outside the universities, outside the common media, to find the answers, explanations, and what the answers are. And that is in free market economics, Austrian economics. It's explainable. Even the ups and downs that you can't measure and predict, that's explainable too, because human action is involved, as Mises pointed out. And that is subjectivity is involved too. And all things can happen. But there are certain economic laws that are very, very real, and they can't repeal them. And that is, if you print paper money, fiat money, endlessly to prop up debt, it will end. The longer it lasts, the bigger the bubble, the worse the correction would be. We're in the middle, not quite the middle. We're at the beginning of that correction. A lot of people are suffering. But from my viewpoint, there's a lot more to come, and there will be survivors. But it's going to be difficult. The most important thing, I think, to be prepared is something the most difficult. We need individual liberty, where the individual is responsible for their own means and for their own safety. And that is not yet to come, because everybody, you know, wants to go and get the handouts, whether it's the corporations or the individuals. It's a welfare system. So corporations are on the dole as well. And yet, unfortunately, we have the division between this runaway so-called conservative intervention, big and never ask a question about militarism and all the spending. And even in that, the comparison that we made was to the $10 trillion spent on war. That's a big part of the budget, and that continues because that's good for jobs, and they admit that is part of the reason they do it. If you quit building bombers, that's like World War II equipment, that'll hurt their jobs. But what if that money stayed in the economy and they started building things that people wanted, and the investments were determined by interest rates, which you're not allowed to have. You don't know what interest rates, because the government rigs the interest rates in order to satisfy this bubble system. But like the title of our program shows, that you better be prepared because it is coming to an end, and it's probably not too far off.
Right, Dr. Paul. I'd like our studio engineer has a chart to bring up, and this chart will show you, if you've ever wondered why did the government create the Fed to begin with, well, this chart will answer your question, because it shows just in the last few months that when the government sold all this treasury debt, you'll see it's in the red, that the Fed's balance sheet rose right along with it. And what that means is the Fed is counterfeiting money and buying government bonds, basically creating money out of thin air and handing it over to politicians. Now you can see why they created this. What was in it for government to create the Federal Reserve? And nobody should have this power to counterfeit money. You know, Americans for the last century have been overwhelmed by a one-way street of expanding government. And you can see that it's the Fed that makes it possible. The Fed, you know, the government doesn't just come and tax us directly. This is how they tax us. They counterfeit. And we know that tens of millions, perhaps even half the country, don't want this. They want a limited government. And we know that because that's what Republicans always promise. They know that Americans want to hear that. They'll vote for it. We'll give you limited government. They never, ever deliver, of course, but they know that that's what people want. And the thing is, you cannot have, it's impossible to have limited government as long as there's a Federal Reserve.
Yes, and the issue of discrimination and racism, of course, is hot in the news. It's a big political issue. And the far left have their definitions of racism and discrimination, and most of the time they're off base. On principle, they can express themselves, but they're in business for another reason. They're in business because they're Marxists, and they want to destroy what we have culturally and also economically. So if you understand that, there's something that we're missing. As libertarians, we don't get the message. As good conservatives who want to have the market and they want limited government, they miss the whole thing too, because there is discrimination, you know, when it comes to passing out this loot. And when they prop up corporations, when they have rigged interest rates, and when the budgets are fixed, this is discrimination at its worst, because it's discriminating in favor of corporations, and they pretend that, oh, it'll all help the middle class. Well, the middle class right now are living in tents in cities like San Francisco and LA and New York. So it's not working. So there is a discrimination, but it's due to the fact that when you have a fiat monetary system that is politicized, it's always discriminatory. And the results are that the middle class gets wiped out, and the economy collapses, and you eventually have runaway inflation, and we're going to see a lot more of price inflation going on. We have all the inflation. That is just the printing of the money. And the chart that Chris just showed that the more they spend, the more the bonds go up, the more the monetary supply go up, the more they monetize the debt. So it is something that we miss the boat on, and understanding what real discrimination is. I challenge anybody who would take a little bit of time to try to understand left, right, or middle, to say that, you know, if you want to follow in the footsteps of people who morally and constitutionally don't believe in discrimination, believe me, this is the one to attack. If you care about poor people and you care about weak economies and runaway inflations and economies like Venezuela and Zimbabwe, you have to understand how the system we have is the worst kind of discrimination. At the same time, be cautious and be willing. If you lean left, you can be sympathetic and you understand, well, we got to help to have the people, and then they are easily put on a guilt trip rather than looking at what the cultural Marxists are doing. They become part of the system because, oh yes, I have to join them because we've discriminated them. My great-great-grandfather discriminated against somebody, so therefore I have to crawl. Well, that is not right. That's a false definition of discrimination. Discrimination is ongoing right now, and discrimination is against the little guy, the middle class, the people who are losing their jobs right now, the people who can't afford to pay their rents and things like this. And it is because of the system. The system is very, very discriminatory, and nobody talks about it as discrimination. And I think it's probably the worst type of discrimination because the other part are so distorted in what they're trying to say. So I'm in favor of pointing out all types of discrimination, and there certainly has been the hardcore wicked kind, but that's not what's eating away at our nation. It's the discrimination in favor of the very wealthy, the banking system, the Federal Reserve System, the warmongering machine. That's where the discrimination has really put us on the brink.
That's right, Dr. Paul. I will finish, as bad as this is, with a case for optimism, because normally when things go sour, capitalism gets the blame automatically. You could be as far away from capitalism as we are today, and it normally gets the blame. But I'm not so sure that will happen this time around. It can. I don't. Nobody knows the future. We don't, and the central planners certainly don't. But there's communication technologies. We no longer have a world where there's three television channels and all Americans are getting the same ideas, and we could see in the last power grab, the one that we're even going through now, that it wasn't capitalism that put 40 million people out of work and have closed close to 100,000 businesses. This was all political, and more people than ever, thanks to the host of this show, I would like to say, know about the Federal Reserve. They've seen the bailouts of 2008 and the CARES Act. It's a totally rigged system. So for people to blame capitalism this time around, they would have to absolutely have no idea what capitalism is. So there's a fighting chance, and I really believe that. The Americans may just want capitalism because they've been deprived of it for so very long.
Very good. And I want to neutralize Abby by going back down to earth for a few minutes, even though I like the idea we should look for the positive things, because liberty is a very, very positive issue. Unfortunately, we don't have enough of it. But I've mentioned in the past, but I want to go over it once again, is the Hertz car rental business. It's been bankruptcy, and it's been in the news. And it's bankrupt probably a little bit because of the distortions that we just talked about. Malinvestment, overinvesting, distorting it, investing too much, interest rates being low, all the things that will create bubbles and unfavorable conditions for certain companies. But they went into bankruptcy, and this sort of leaned toward a legitimate bankruptcy because it looks like it would get closed down, although they're still in business. They didn't have to sell all their automobiles. But they declared the bankruptcy, so they put their bonds up for sale, and they went down to, it was either bonds or the stocks, but it went down to 40 cents, and they didn't have anything to cover it. So even Hertz admitted, it's bankrupt, it's not worth anything, we don't expect it to get better. But a lot of people wanted to buy this stuff. So they did. It went from 40 cents up to $5.50. It's a 1,000% increase. So I guess if you're in the know and know how to do that and you want to take that chance, that's the case. But why would anybody do that? Well, they're just doing what the government does. The government does it all the time. They buy up the bad corporations. Maybe this is logical thinking. Well, They're not going to let Hertz just disappear. They're finally going to help them out. And that stock is going to come back, like General Motors came back, you know, even though the government became part owners on it. So maybe they're going to decide that Hertz is an important company, and politicians like to ride around and have a Hertz car available. It's something that we have to protect. They might be betting on that. But the whole thing is, it's also part of the fantasy, you know, of thinking it. I just wouldn't trust my investments to fantasy. I always try to eliminate the fantasies and think about reality. And you really get a dose of reality if you spend a couple years in Washington, because when I'm out of Washington, and I've been out for a while, I get optimistic about talking to people who understand economics and have worked in trying to promote the education of free market economics. I get positive. In Washington, it's the opposite. And people say, well, how could you stand it? How did you stand up there and get along with those people? Well, I separated the two. I still talk to people as if they were just human beings, and actually most of them were reasonable, and they didn't know anything about economics, so it didn't bother them. But in the same sense, they were participating in it. They don't understand it, and therefore it makes it much worse. They're very, very naive, and they understand the politics of it. You can't take away the benefits now for political reasons. But like I said, what happens if we don't, tighten that belt? What happens if you don't talk your patient into admitting what kind of a disease they have and why they need surgery, and they might die if they don't have surgery? And that's sort of the same way here, is the surgery is tough and it's a bad recovery. But if we let this go, and right now, I think it's dominating. We don't control the breakdown. The bursting of a bubble, they can tinker with it and prop it up and pump a little bit, but that's all temporary. But I think March was a big signal to the real direction of what's going to happen financially and in this country. And yet they still don't talk about, I think this is the big cause, what we're talking about. They're still saying it's coronavirus. They concocted this story about the whole world was going to die from coronavirus. And that's just not true, from my opinion. It doesn't make a lot of sense. There's been a lot of diseases, because a lot of people put out statistics to show that influenza has killed a lot more people. Anyway, they're always looking for excuses, but there's no easy excuse for liberty. And liberty is something that we were introduced to by our founding fathers. They tried to make the case on sound money and limited government, and had a list of things the government could not do and a shorter list of what they were allowed to do, but we don't follow that at all. But I still think that issue is alive and well. I think they don't get coverage. I think there are a lot of students that agree with us on that. But we have to eventually convince people. You can't just look at the major networks and listen to the government agents listening to the propaganda and get so excited that, well, we have to be in war because wars are good for jobs, and that always comes and is an issue. The military industrial complex is not a good economic group. It's not the kind of economy that we want to have, but it's very, very dependent on a continuation of that. But the real issue is, do we want to live in a free country and assume responsibilities for ourselves, which is what was intended by our Constitution, or do we want to continue this process and just keep our fingers crossed? Well, I made a decision a long time ago that I think it was, I thought it was much better to try to change the system. And the only way I thought I could never get political clout and never sought political clout, never became a chairman. But I always thought the changes come with a change of ideas. And ideas do have consequences, and good ideas will have benefits. And it's happened in both ways. Bad ideas give us the ammunition for the dictators, the cultural Marxists and all these other people, because somebody wrote a book about it and said, this is very good and it's going to be wonderful and everybody will be okay. So it is a intellectual thing, and that's why we are really in a lost cause, because we can't get the answers out of the university. We have to go elsewhere. And we here at the Liberty Report want to make a sincere effort to do the best we can to spread a message that we so strongly believe in. And we want to thank you very much for joining us and helping us to spread this message of peace and prosperity. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.